Clive Cussler on Golden Buddha.
Hello, my name is Clive Cussler. Just so you know, this is not a Dirk Pitt adventure, nor a pneumophile's Kurt Austin story. This book is based on the old tramp cargo ship Oregon that I described in the Pitt tale titled Flood Tide. Beneath her derelict superstructure and rusty hull, Oregon is a mechanical marvel of technology and scientific genius. She is crewed by a group of highly educated and intelligent mercenaries who function under the myriad umbrellas of a far-flung corporate conglomerate. They contract with governments, corporations, and private interests around the world to fight corruption and challenge the sinister threats of rogue villains in the exotic ports of the seven seas. Craig Dergo and I worked together to create an entirely new series of adventures with a cast of characters unlike any ever seen before. I sincerely hope you will find it an enjoyable departure as well as a fun read.
Prelude. March 31, 1959. The flowers surrounding the summer palace of Norbolinka were closed, but ready to bloom. The park-like setting of the complex was beautiful. High stone walls surrounded it. Within the walls were trees and lush gardens, and in the center was a smaller, yellow wall, through which only the Dalai Lama, his advisors, and a few select monks passed. Here were tranquil pools, the home of the Dalai Lama, and a temple for prayer. It was a sea of order and substance centered in a country of chaos. Not far away, perched on the side of a hill, was the imposing winter palace of Potala. The massive structure seemed to step down the hillside. Potala contained over 1,000 rooms, was populated by hundreds of monks, and dated from centuries before. There was an imposing orderliness to the building. Stone steps led from the mid-levels of the seven-story palace in an orderly zigzag downward and then stopped at a gigantic block stone wall that formed the base of the behemoth. The precisely laid stones rose nearly 80 feet into the air. At the base was a flat stretch of land where tens of thousands of Tibetans were assembled. The people, as well as another large group at Norbolinka, had come to protect their spiritual leader. Unlike the hated Chinese who occupied their country, the peasants carried not rifles, but knives and bows. Instead of artillery, they had only flesh, bone, and spirit. They were outgunned. But to protect their leader, they would have gladly laid down their lives. Their sacrifice would require but one word from the Dalai Lama. Inside the yellow wall, the Dalai Lama was praying at the shrine to Mahakala, his personal protector. The Chinese had offered to take him to their headquarters for his protection, but he knew that was not their true motive. It was the Chinese from whom he needed protection, and the letter the Dalai Lama had just received from Nyangbo Nyangweng Higme, the governor of Chamdo, held a truer picture. After a discussion with General Tan, the Chinese military officer in command of the region, Higme was certain the Chinese were planning to begin shelling the crowds to disperse them. Once that happened, the loss of life would be horrific. Raising from his knees, the Dalai Lama walked over to a table and rang a bell. Almost instantly, the door opened and the head of the Kusun Dipan, the Dalai Lama's personal bodyguards, appeared. Through the open door, he could see several Singha warriors. The monastic policemen lent a terrifying presence. Each was over 6 feet tall, wore a fearsome mustache, and was dressed in a black padded suit that made them appear even larger and more invincible. Several Dogki, the fierce Tibetan Mastiff guard dogs, stood on their haunches at attention. "Please summon the oracle," the Dalai Lama said quietly. From his house in Lhasa, Langston Overholt III was monitoring the deteriorating conditions. He stood alongside the radio operator as the man adjusted the dial.
"Situation critical. Over."
The radio operator turned the dial to reduce the static.
"Believe Red Rooster will enter the hen house. Over."
The operator watched the gauges carefully.
"Need immediate positive support. Over."
Again, a lag as the operator adjusted the dial.
"I recommend Eagles and Camels. Over."
The man stood mute as the radio warbled and the green